Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everybody. Hour number two. Hour number two of the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. Dane Martinez and my main man, Kevin Walsh, burning the candle, trying to find all the information you need to have you have a profitable day. We'll try and have some fun and put the fun in functional sports content at the same time. We've gone through a number of games, and I want to talk about this next one. Listen, the Atlanta Falcons fired their coach last night. The Houston Texans fired their coach last week. And now Romeo Crennel, who I believe set a record for being the oldest coach in the NFL. He's like 73, 74, something like that. Wow. Breaking a record of George Halas. And the Houston Texans get a win. They are 1-0 now under Romeo Crennel. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's not forget the Jacksonville Jaguars, who now fall to 1-4. People thought they were going to go 0-16. They got a win in week one over Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts. Minshew mania took hold. But let's not forget, this is a team that we didn't think was going to win too many games. They go down to what was the previously winless Texans, 30-14. And here's what I saw from this one. My leading indicator on this game all week was that the Houston Texans could not stop the run. The Houston Texans could not stop the run, right? James Robinson, as this unheralded rookie, is going to go off. No, he didn't. James Robinson, 13 carries for 48 yards. The team only runs for 75 yards in total. I don't know if Romeo Crennel fixed something or not, but I believe their run defense helps set the stage for a different kind of game flow. And then, you know, Deshaun Watson is still Superman. 359 yards and 3 touchdowns. They've always had that ability. I believe fundamentally on defense, being able to stop the run enables Watson to do his thing.
Yeah, Watson was good. He wasn't outstanding. He threw 2 picks that were not great.
Fair.
Ultimately, they finally got Brandon Cooks going, 8-161 and a score. Watson threw for 3 scores,
absolutely,
which was great. David Johnson had a nice game on the ground, only missing the touchdown. And it was certainly their best defensive performance. Now, I've given myself enough flack for where I was wrong. Let's talk about where I was right. My goodness gracious. And I can't wait to talk about the second best bet. But this one, what certainly made the card. When we talked about the end of last Friday, right? Like, where are your best bets? This made it, okay? And there were 2 conversations that I had that were very important to my confidence growing up. Now, one was just with you on the show as we previewed the game. The more and more we talked about it, I'm like, think this is a good spot for Houston. This is a spot where they're inspired because they probably hold themselves accountable for Bill O'Brien not being there. The other conversation was with someone off air who explained to me last week when Jacksonville was getting the line moved in their favor against Cincinnati, saying, what are we all doing here? The Jags are as bad as we thought the Jags were going to be.
Yep.
Just watched the Thursday nighter against Miami. And since that point, that has proved to be 100% true. Four straight weeks now they have given up 30-plus points. That defense was supposed to be a sieve. It is. I really, really like it. Mitchu, you know this more than most. This team, organization, holds a place in my heart, undoubtedly. They're terrible. They're as bad as we thought they were going to be. They're terrible.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's why, you know, when I threw it to you, I started talking about they got it done in week one. Minshew mania took hold. You know, Kev, last week we were going to go look at the quarter poll, right, and take a step back. And, you know, obviously with some of the positive testing and the coronavirus stuff kind of took over as a headline story in the NFL last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is a point we need to make to the sports investors out there, right? To channel my own Denny Green. The Jags are who we thought they were. There are some nice stories. Minshew's the great kid. We love his moxie. The kid James Robinson is a nice story as an undrafted rookie. But they are who we thought they were. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, including the mightier 1090 out there on the West Coast. Thanks for waking up early with us. Don't go too crazy celebrating a Lakers championship out there in California today. So I think that is clear. And I think you and I are both putting out the same warning to Jacksonville backers, fans, or people who want to put the Jags on their card. They are who we thought they were. And please remember that next week when we're previewing Jags games. And another game I do want to get to, but we only have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to start this Rams-Washington game with what is obviously the story that everybody got, you know, excited about. Scott Hansen on Red Zone was talking about the lump in his throat. You saw the nerves for the announcers, for Alex Smith's wife, for everybody. When after a heroic, you know, kind of comeback story, we've all seen it chronicled. There are documentaries about it. Dwayne Haskins gets demoted to QB3. We hear he's bragging about his stats in a loss. Kyle Allen is QB1, and Alex Smith is one play away. You know the play was going to happen, and Alex Smith came on in. Before we talk about performance and production and the games and what the Rams could be in the NFC West, it's great to see Alex Smith back, right? The culmination of a beautiful story.
It really is almost impossible to really explain how incredible this is if you don't watch the Alex Smith documentary. Alex Smith, it's not that his career was on the line. His place in Washington.
Gotta get amputated.
Like, yeah, his leg was on the line. He, like, it is, regardless of the performance, as you said, and it wasn't good, it was incredible to see him out there. It was cool. Like, even for those who watch Red Zone, like, all we usually, you know, we're inside the 25, right? Like, so we're supposed to be.
They showed him taking it into the huddle.
Alex Smith. Like, yeah, because it was awesome to see him back. It was great.
It was a feel-good moment when there was not another feel-good moment for NFC's quarterbacks. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Right here onto the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid, Dane and Kev. And Kev, I want to stick with this Alex Smith's return because we also have other pieces to the equation, right? Jason LaConfora is reporting that the Washington football team is likely to trade Dwayne Haskins before the October 29th deadline. And the NFL trade deadline comes up in about 2 weeks. So this is some, we're going to start hearing these things, right? What do you think is the status of the Washington football team quarterback situation moving forward? Is Alex Smith QB1?
Oh boy. Man,
like, should he be picked up in fantasy football rosters in two quarterback leagues? Like, is he their leader?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Who's starting for Washington next week?
I think it's Kyle Allen. So let's just say this, okay? Betting is never easy. But thank you, Ron Rivera, for giving us an easy one. Because Dwayne Haskins bet in this game. I don't bet this game. But we laid 7, and we could have laid a lot more. The Rams annihilated this team. I mean, Kyle Allen's 9 of 13 for 74. Not good. Did have a rushing touchdown. That was the play he got hurt on. Alex Smith came in. Love the story. Fine. 9 of 17 for 37 yards. That is abysmal. Abysmal. And this team got taken to the woodshed constantly, man. I mean, I don't know if Ron Rivera's going to hang his hat and there were no interceptions. But boy, oh boy, did Dwayne Haskins not look like the problem. This was the least explosive this offense has looked all season long. His defense gave up 30 points again. That's four straight weeks as well. Like I just said, the Jaguars are the worst team in football, or they're right there. Washington now has given up as many 30-point games as them. They should really be counting their lucky stars that Philly ended up choking away a 17-0 lead, because Washington would be sat there 0-5, right there next to the Jets and the Giants, the worst teams in all of football. And I'll tell you this, I genuinely believe part of the reason he left Alex Smith in is he could tell it was going bad, left him to the Wolves, and then he can go back to Kyle Allen, who was healthy and could have came back in. I think he left Alex Smith to the Wolves. I think Kyle Allen starts next week.
All right, fair enough. I mean, this Rams defense did get, I believe, 8 sacks. And listen, let's talk about the Rams. Let's talk about the Rams now, who are, you know, in second place. You are higher on them than most coming in. Jared Goff throws for 309 and 2 touchdowns. And listen, we saw the return of Cam Akers, but Henderson still valuable with 2 touchdowns. Talk to me about the prospects in the Rams in an evolving NFC West.
The Rams are right now, if you do NFC power rankings, they must be in your top 5. And they could be as high as 3. I mean, this team looks
awesome. You got to have Seattle and Green Bay, right? You got to have Seattle and Green Bay.
Right.
Outside of that, you think the Rams are maybe the best team outside of Green Bay and Seattle?
I mean, right now, I think who's the other argument, right?
Really? No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm saying, because no one's going to argue the 4-1 Bears. The Bucs just lost to that team. The only other team is the Saints, realistically, that people would make the argument for. And that's why I said top 5 to keep it conservative.
Sure.
This is a team that's getting the job done on both sides of the football. Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey looks like he's worth every penny. This run game, 9 for 61, Cam Akers. Darrell Henderson finds the end zone twice. Yuck, who cares? That's, you know, in terms of the actual outlook for this team when we're betting on them. Fantasy or props, miserable. Well, no part of it until later in the season. Jared Goff looks real good as well. Like you said it. Like, Jared Goff has had a very interesting career, albeit a very short one up to this point. Yeah. But he looks really good right now. And, you know, we take a scope of the NFC West, right? Russ is Russ, obviously, right? But for a lot of people, oh, I give me Kyler over Goff, and I understand it. I would have said the same exact thing. This is not me being like, oh, I told you so. Not at all, okay? Give me Garoppolo off of the finals, off of the finals, NBA, off of the Super Bowl appearance. Goff right now does look like the second best quarterback in this division. Goff right now playing a top 12 quarterback in football. And with Sean McVay, with these weapons, with this defense, that's enough to get the job done, man.
Yeah, the Rams have looked better. And listen, you talk about the running game. For fantasy, it's a herd, right? But they are running the ball. And their offensive line is moving people, right? So, yeah, we got to consider the Rams in that tier two, let's say. You know how we break it up into tiers in the AFC? Sure. I think you can put the Rams in that second tier in the NFC. I do want to ask you, though, going in, you know, you're saying how we got to take these Rams seriously. Going into week five, I was very intrigued by this next game. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts, because we were talking about needing to take these teams seriously. We knew the winner of this game would stand at 4-1. It is the Cleveland Browns. They get a win 32-23. Okay. The Browns kind of stay hot. They do enough. They run the ball. Baker throws for two touchdowns. Here's the way I want to frame this game. The margin of victory in this game was 9. And this is two teams that are solid, right? That are trying to play businessman-like football, right? And we know this looks like a playoff game. This looks like a playoff game. And sometimes, Kev, you're smiling because you know where I'm going to go. Sometimes when there's two good, potentially even-matched teams, it's about the mistakes that are made. And everyone gives Jameis Winston noise, Danny Dimes noise. And we've said Phillip Rivers is not that much far behind. I've said that I thought one of the reasons I like the Colts is because they didn't ask Phillip Rivers to do too much. The margin in this game was 9. He threw a pick 6 and he had a boneheaded safety. That's 9 points. I'm not saying it would have played out differently, but if they're going to be this style and it's working with this good defense they have, Phillip Rivers has to be the game manager. And his mistakes, I think, were the difference in this game.
They were the difference in this game. This is, man, oh man. What people said the Ravens were when they lost to the Chiefs on Monday night is who the Colts are. They prefer to be running the football. They are a defense-first team. And most importantly, they cannot play from behind. 2 losses on the year.
Right, because then Phillip Rivers tries to become Ryan Fitzpatrick and YOLO balls.
He's terrible. He's just bad. That's what it is. Phillip Rivers is not good anymore. 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, 243 yards passing on 21 of 33. Like, not, it's not that Baker was significantly better on the other side, but he still threw for 2 touchdowns, and he was better on the other side. They cannot win playing from behind. And if you gave up, now Darius Leonard was banged up, different things here, 9 points, all basically Phillip Rivers' fault that the Browns were able to put on their side. There's a lot of things here. But the Browns, no Nick Chubb. This isn't the best offense in the AFC. The Chiefs, the Ravens, Titans have their day. Pittsburgh just hung 38 with all
universe. Vegas.
I mean, legit, the Bills with MVP Buffalo. Josh Allen. Like, we both like the Browns. Are they even a top 5 AFC offense? And I don't know if that's a slight to say no. They might be. But you get my point.
No, they're not.
The Colts didn't just play the top of the class. And that's why when we're tearing this off, if you're actually saying to yourself, okay, but who can really do it? Like, the Browns, let me be careful here. The Browns have a roster that can beat the Chiefs because of the ground game, because of the defensive weapons. Would I pick them to beat the Chiefs? No. Okay? The Colts, though, and some might say, well, they have, but the Colts can't play from behind because through the air, it's a disaster. Like, at least the Browns have Odell and Jarvis and game breakers.
I push this back on that, though, because the Colts and the Browns want to win the same way. I've been saying it for weeks.
Right.
The Browns want to establish the run and then be play action. If the Browns are playing from behind, that's when Baker looks poor. right? In the same way that Phillip looks poor, okay?
Yeah.
You only have 30 seconds. I do want to talk about Baker, though, because he left this game with what looks like a rib issue. Didn't leave the game, but, you know, is worse for wear. So that is something we have to monitor. I think the Colts and the Browns are very similar teams. They went into it with similar 3-1 records, and it was the Browns that was just able to establish it, get that lead, and play the way they want to play. We'll talk about it more on the other side of the break, but let's get caught up on all the Sports Grid news.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the grid, giving you the edge, as always, on Sports Grid. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates as well. I'm Dane Martinez. We got the candle burner, Kevin Walsh, hanging with me every Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern time, giving you the edge early on the early line. I do want to talk about Baker and these Browns, because I do believe, Kev, similar to these Colts, right? Think about what people were saying about the Browns after week one. And then now they have literally put up 30 plus 4 weeks in a row. This is the same roster, right? I'm going back to my same thesis. The Browns in week one got boat raced. So they couldn't get into their scheme, their offense, what they want to do. All right. There's a number of teams, and we just talked about it, right? Russell Wilson. Patty Mahomes. I'll say to a certain extent, the Cowboys under Dak Prescott, right? Like, there's always live, the comeback, that sort of thing. There are other teams, even very, very, very good teams in the NFL that have a specific prescription and path to victory, right?
Yeah.
Even the Baltimore Ravens fit in that category, in my opinion, right? And I believe the Browns and the Colts are good AFC teams that have a specific prescription and path for victory. And it was interesting to see. I was going to tell you, whoever got out to a lead in the second quarter in this Colts-Browns game was probably going to be able to play the way they wanted to. Kickoff return from the Colts notwithstanding.
100%. Yeah, I mean, the kickoff return was wild. But I just want to say this, and I don't want to belabor it too much because I might end up disagreeing with myself in hindsight. But the Browns, to me, and the reason why I guess I give them more credence than the Colts, is I think I trust Baker more. I like the run game more. I might even like their defense more than Indy. And one of the things that I think is noteworthy, albeit in the first quarter, the Colts did take a lead. And one of the things that they have now done, I feel like in the start of these games, Dane, as much as I know they love to run the football, they kind of are attacking through the air in the beginning of these games. Like Odell and Jarvis, they're getting them going early.
Right.
And it's getting Baker going early. And they're almost maybe setting up the run game through the pass game because they have to remind people that they do have all of these talented players. And I'll just say this. Next week, the Browns may be playing in the game of the week again against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, you know, we're battling here. Who's number two in the AFC? Maybe who's number one in the AFC North? The Browns and the Steelers next week, already excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make that point. Listen, The Steelers are in first place in the AFC North. The Steelers are the undefeated team in the AFC North. And then Baltimore and Cleveland have one loss. And I remember a certain host that said three teams from the AFC North may make it in. Let's talk about these Baltimore Ravens because, Kev, boy, did they have the prescription and follow their path to victory the way they want to play yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals. They're able to run the ball. They boat race Cincinnati. Right. And here's the thing. This is where I know they're doing what they want. They ran the ball, Baltimore, for a net of 161 yards yesterday. They threw the ball for a net of 171 yards today. Yesterday, talk about, you know, them wanting to be led by the run. Not one, not two, but not three, but four players, five players, you know, are able to run the ball. This is a game when Lamar Jackson only runs for 3 yards. Okay. Yet Ingram, Dobbins, Edwards, even Duvernay, you know, on end around stuff, they are able to enforce their will, play the way they want, get out to the lead, and then it is curtains. What do you think about this game, Kev?
I think for the Ravens, it's one of the best defensive performances that any team has put on. I know, oh, it's the Bengals, but this is a team that's moved the football. Like, Joe Burrow was kind of a popular fantasy play of the week because they expect the yardage and everything to be so high. He got sacked 7 times. He got beat up bad by this Ravens team. Lamar quietly just having all of the regression when you talk about where he was last season. But they're getting the job done. I really look forward to the next big marquee Ravens matchup. Maybe it'll be one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But even if the game wasn't flashy, right now we are finding value in the props market on Lamar Jackson. Now, I've got it 2 weeks in a row, and maybe the number moves. But they did this last year in the beginning of the season, and evidently they didn't learn their lesson. This is the MVP of the league who is getting priced at 1.5 touchdown passes at only minus 130 juice. The rest of these guys, Mahomes, Ross, Watson, they're all 2.5. Some of them might be plus money, but Lamar is playing bad teams, back-to-back weeks, Washington and Cincy, and we are seeing value on his touchdown pass prop. Keep an eye on that market.
Okay, yeah, we absolutely will. And I think you're right. We also should remember, Kev, Lamar Jackson did miss 2 days of practice last week, right? With a knee.
Yeah,
right? So I don't know. I don't know, right? But if he is in any way managing an injury, fighting through, you know, specifically for Lamar, that is absolutely very, very important. And you talk about this. I just took a gander at the Ravens schedule, Kev. So they got your Eagles next week, then a bye, okay? But then.
Yeah. Heats up.
AFC Contenders Row, Kev. Okay. After that, it's Pittsburgh, at Indy, at New England, Tennessee, at Pittsburgh. That is five games in a row that Lamar will need to be his best self. So we'll keep an eye out on that one. Last game of the week that we got to talk about here, Kev, is the Arizona Cardinals, who traveled west to east. This is their second of 3 straight road games, but it doesn't matter. Anybody can come on in there and beat the Jets right now. They get it done 30-10. Kyler Murray throws for 380 yards and a touchdown. He runs for a touchdown as well. At one point earlier in the show, you said something like, when a wide receiver is the best player on the field, that it becomes fun. And I have said this on this network for years. I believe DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in football, and he delivers 6 catches, 131 yards, and 1 touchdown. And it was clear in one drive. Kyler Murray was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to chuck it down the left sideline. D-Hop makes a play for 30. Later in the drive, I'm going to chuck it down the left sideline. D-Hop makes a great catch for a touchdown. You know, this is what they can do. They get back on the good foot, and the Jets are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, listen, DeAndre Hopkins rules. He's incredible. I love it. Kyler, nice bounce back game after what felt like throwing for 4 yards per pass, throws for 380. Kenyon Drake finally gets in the end zone, and that's all good and well. On the Jets side of things, let's
go back.
It's
not all good and well.
Looked all right. Jameson Crowder quietly outstanding.
Yes.
Joe Flacco not going to take Darnold's job. Next week they play the Miami Dolphins, it looks like, because the schedule getting all mixed around with the NFL. Next week is the week that we have to really consider the Jets, because you expect Darnold to be back. The Dolphins are going to be everybody's favorite with the Niners win. You can't doubt Fitz. That's when you doubt Fitz. Right. I am saying this now on Monday. That way, I can at least try and remember it when we get to Friday, and I go, the Jets are the worst team in football. Fitzpatrick is going to run them out of the building, because I don't want to sell this team. I mean, look, no, they're terrible. They're the worst team in football. But are they going to really go 0-16? Like, that's the question we have to ask ourselves.
No, they're not.
Is this team really going to go 0-16?
No, they're not. I don't think they are. Okay, they got Le'Veon Bell back. They will still get, like, listen, Crowder came back a week ago, goes 8 for 116 and a touchdown. Breshad Perryman.
They hung around in this game for a bit.
Denzel Mims on the horizon. They are going to have other spots. I know it looks bad, but no, they're not going to go 0-16, in my opinion. The same way, like you just said earlier in the show, the Chiefs were not going to actually go 16-0, right? I do want to say this, though. I had a decent day when we talked about Pro Football Today. We each give out prop bets. I hit most of the ones I had, including a Dalvin Cook first touchdown scorer at like 6-1. One of the prop bets I bet, Kev, was Le'Veon Bell over 15 receiving yards. And he goes 1 for 7 in the pass game. I was like, oh, Joe Flacco knows he can dump down to Le'Veon Bell. He saw it happen in the AFC North all the time, right? After the game, Kev, people are tweeting about how is Le'Veon Bell not used in the passing offense. He's liking and retweeting those tweets. So the drama with Le'Veon Bell continues. But
oh my gosh.
Don't you want to use Le'Veon Bell in the passing game?
Yeah, I don't. Oh, my God. I didn't know he was doing that. Yeah, I don't blame him.
No, there were tweets out there about, like, shake my head. You know, like, Josh Smith gets 11 targets and Le'Veon Bell gets one. And he's liking and retweeting them.
They got to trade him. This is such a waste, man. Because it's not like Adam – would you trust Adam Gase? I had to start Bell this week in fantasy. But, like, do you trust Gase to want to give him the football?
No,
he's the best player on this team. I don't – like, that – like
clear.
Oh, God.
And he ran the ball okay. It wasn't horrible. 13 for 60. Running the ball, right? So we got to keep an eye on this, but I do not want to talk about it anymore. We do have breaking news, okay? At this point of the show, we've always gotten news, and we have good news, I believe. Okay. Kev, did you see? Let's put the graphic up right now. I know that our guys behind the scenes just made it. Kev, it does not look like there were any new positives from the Tennessee Titans today. Okay, so we've got potentially still two games on the horizon here in week 5. You just see it right now from Tom Pelissero. No new positives on the Tennessee Titans. So as of now, and I need to say those three words because it is obviously a fluid situation, but this is another good piece of news. No more Titans positives. That game is technically scheduled for tomorrow night.
Yeah, that is great to see, man. It really is. It's a tight. I look forward to talking about Titans Bills because it's a very important game in the AFC.
It is. You know, and now, like, there's the logistics part, but remember the competitive balance part. Because if they play on Tuesday, from what I understand, no AJ Brown. No Corey Davis, no Adam Humphries, and I can go on. We'll come on back and talk about the games left on the horizon after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the early line. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, we just said good news, no new positives on the Tennessee Titans. So that game right now is on track as of now to go tomorrow night, Titans Bills. So we'll have plenty of time to discuss that one, hopefully tomorrow, if it is still on the docket. And our friends and partners at FanDuel will probably repost lines once we are in the clear and think that one will happen. But we do, you know, at one point we thought we were going to have two games tonight. But we don't. We got one game tonight. And, you know, I think this game is happening in the Superdome. They did move the LSU game over the weekend. But by all, everything I hear, this game in the Dome tonight, the New Orleans Saints at home laying a full touchdown to the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a game that has kind of moved. We talk about watching for the hook. It stands at a full touchdown right now. The total is 50 on the number. The Chargers have announced that Justin Herbert will be the starting quarterback moving forward, but in a surprise move, you know, there were games going on left and right yesterday, but around the start of the 4 o'clock games, there was a big update for this game, and everyone was expecting, you know, Pro Bowl, NFL leading wide receiver Michael Thomas to make his return, and apparently, health-wise, he can make his return, but he's now being held out of tonight's action for disciplinary reasons, getting into a fight at practice. So, no Michael Thomas for these Saints as they take on the Chargers tonight.
Ridiculous. What a wild thing. That, like, I like, too, in a way that they were like, oh, this is how we discipline him. Because I guess with what we've read from Mike Thomas, this is the easiest way to really break his heart. Is
right, because he wants to play so much. Right.
Like, yeah, like how much he refused to say, I won't be back next week, and he's not played in 3 weeks. Like, so that's pretty interesting there. As far as this game goes, Dan, I got to be honest with you, not really confident either way about laying 7 with the Saints. The Chargers been hanging around in these football games. Yep. They play up or down to competition. Probably should have had the Bucs last week. I'm thinking about just playing this game over. This 2020 NFL, we're flying over numbers. The Saints are 4-0 to the over. Last week, the Chargers went over the number. It's 50. It's not a light number, but it's not an outrageous number. Far from the biggest total of the board.
I think that makes sense, you know, and the Saints now, because you're talking also, remember, we're talking about these teams in the NFC that are not named Seattle or Green Bay, right? And the Saints are here in this spot. They come into this 2-2, you know, 3-2 sounds a lot different than 2-3. If you have designs on really being a contender, you like this total, you say to go over, there's no reason to not think that. I'm on the kid. I think you're right. I think that Herbert has been keeping them close. Their offense is more dynamic. They can hang with a team, whether it's backdoor cover or not. I think the Chargers hold up to their end of the bargain and can score enough points. Talk to me about Drew Brees. We've been talking about him falling off the cliff. Is he pushing it downfield? Yeah. Now there's no Michael Thomas. What do you expect out of Drew Brees here and moving forward, quite frankly?
What's really interesting, you know, we just talked a little bit about the Lamar pass touchdown prop. You can get Drew Brees at over 2.5 touchdown passes. It's plus 162. That number is far too rich for my blood in terms of him having to throw 3 touchdown passes, but plus 162 is hard to ignore. He looked really, really good last week. You know, maybe the Lions is exactly what the doctor ordered in terms of a get right spot here. Yeah. You know, when you're thinking about props as well, I don't mean to go to the other side of it, but I am livid at the Keenan Allen number. Because last week we went over 62.5. We lost it by the hook. And the book clearly were like, oh, yeah, we got by the skin of our teeth. 15 yards added. 77.5. That is a substantial move. And one that very well might keep me off of this number.
That's interesting. I am not afraid of that number. I would still take the over. I believe under Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen resumes being a dangerous top flight wide receiver. That's part of what we've seen. We knew Tyrod was real conservative. Under Herbert, however, that outside wide receiver is getting looked. So I would still be going over the number. But otherwise, I think we do see this as points will be scored and the Chargers can hang around. Kev, we got to turn our attention to Major League Baseball, where the ALCS, started last night. The Rays are up 1-0. They get a W 2-1. I mean, listen, at the very, very beginning of the game, Jose Altuve goes yard as the second batter of the game, and then they get squadouche. After that, our guy Randy Arozarena, who is the Cuban Mookie Betts coming out of nowhere, he goes yard, and then the bullpen of Tampa puts it together, right? Taylor Paredes, the bullpen of Tampa from Curtis and Thompson and Lupin Castillo, they all get the job done. No runs for them. Tampa is up 1-0 in this series. As I look to today, though, game two right away. Remember, this will also, if necessary, be 7 days in a row. So we talk about that Tampa Bay bullpen. It may be tested. I know it's crazy, but that's what lies before these teams. So the Rays are up 1-0 in the series. The Rays are also favorites today at -136 on the money line. They run out Charlie Morton. The Astros answer back with Lance McCullers. What are you seeing either in what happened last night, or, because I know you like to play series bets back and forth, what are you looking at the ALCS at this point? Rays are up 1-0.
Yeah, the Rays, that's such a big win, man. I feel like, of course, it's a big win. It's game one. The manner in which they did it again, down 1-0, just like they were against the Yanks, and to come back. And I mean, they are now -380 to win that series. They're -136 to win today's game. That is a substantial move. But I'm not running to the window on Houston. Personal feelings aside, the Rays are the better baseball team. And this is a spot where -136, I think it's a playable number. The one thing that now really interests me is, are we going to see some stone cold unders now that the games are going to be even more important? Bats are tighter, arms feel stronger. And, you know, look, maybe it's an overreaction. The last two baseball games that we've seen have both had, 2-1 score lines, 3 total runs. But I was a little surprised to not only see this total be 8, Dane, but to see the juice be at -114 to the over.
Yeah, that is interesting, and I do think we have to keep our eye on where the totals go. We've made this point. I said it even in the NBA playoffs, as we get deeper and deeper, the defense gets better and better, things get a little bit tighter. Think about the staffs, pitching staffs that we have left remaining, right? I even something as silly, Kev, as now all these games are going to be like at night, right? We don't have 4 games a day. We don't have that 2 o'clock start that the Astros were in that ballpark where it was flying out at Chavez Ravine, right? So I do think it's going to be a little bit different. And you're right. It is interesting, right, that the Rays are -136 to go up 2-0. And then you could think about how to play the series from all sorts of places, from the series price to the exact score and more and more and more. Let's transition, though, Kev, to the NLCS, which gets going tonight. Game one is tonight. Walker Buehler on the hill for the Dodgers. Max Fried on the hill for the Braves. Both of these guys are the top of the rotation. I'm excited to see these pitching matchups. Today, Kev, the Dodgers are -142. The Braves are +124. For the series, the Dodgers are -215. And the Braves are +172. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if the Braves are going to win the series, but to me, +172 feels like a little bit of value.
I got to say, that is the real mark of a team winning over a fan, a bettor. When you pick a team to get bounced in round one,
I did,
and you're willing to come back on them against the best team in baseball. And the reason I'm making that
point is, at a +172 number.
The reason I'm making that point, though, is the Braves have earned that. The Braves have earned that. What they did in the what they did on their run here was fantastic. Max Fried and Ian Anderson have been excellent. Their bats have started to wake up here. Like, the more we enter this series, the more it feels like maybe the Braves are on the Dodgers tier. Dodgers still team one, no doubt about it. But it felt like, at least for me, that there was the Dodgers, Then we go down to the Braves, right, the Padres, and the Cubs. The way the Braves have played, and maybe this is natural, you know, maybe if you go back and you ask yourself year after year, how often do you show up to your ALCS and NLCS thinking, oh yeah, these teams are on level footing? I'm not sure, but I know that's how I feel coming into this set. And even from a game one perspective, this is a game that pulls you in any direction. Oh, I trust Walker Buehler. Yeah, but I trust, right, Max Fried. Oh, the Dodgers lineup rakes. Ah, so does the Braves lineup. There is not a single bet. And I know that this might not be very helpful to people, but this is how I feel. There isn't a single bet that you would make on this game that I could argue with. I want to lay minus 142 with the Dodgers. It's the lowest number we've seen all postseason. I can't argue against that. I want to get plus 124 on the Braves. They've been big old favorites every single game this postseason. Can't argue against that. I want over 8. I want under 8. That's what I'm trying to make the point of. These feel like more evenly matched teams than we thought. And that's how you argue that plus 172 on a series price is value.
Yeah, I completely agree, right? If, like you, I think the way you laid it out is right. If reasonable people can see all of the angles, plus money, my friend, that's where I am going. Let me ask you, you mentioned the total a little bit. One of the things I've been talking about throughout the whole playoffs is this idea of the run line, right? The one-run games. Now, we had a one-run game last night. The Rays won 2-1. Might you be more hesitant to go with that approach now that we're deeper along in the playoffs? Might we get some closer 1-1 games in this round?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, especially the games that these two teams, like the Dodgers popped their final game out. But now they are going up against an absolute stud in Max Fried, who knows when we're going to find out the awards in baseball, but has a really good shot at winning the Cy Young. I don't know if he'll get it. It might be Bauer, but he's got a good shot at winning it. I think it's a spot where do you really want to go against these offenses? This is where postseason baseball.
So then you're taking the over?
This is my thing. This is the thing with postseason baseball. I had conviction about this when it came to the Braves versus the Reds, the Yankees versus the Indians. But it's, if you say, oh, let me play under, I trust Buehler and Fried, you are still simultaneously saying Betts, Seager, Bellinger, Freeman, Acuna, Ozuna, you don't worry me, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about here with these teams being on this level footing. And I just want to make this other point because there's a number of different ways that you can bet in the series market. The spread. You can get the Braves at a plus a game and a half at minus 110. Now, they either have to win or it goes seven in order for you to win that bet. If you think they win this game today, and then you bet them at plus 124, and then if they don't, you might be able to get them at +2.5 games after maybe losing game one. I love this team at +2.5 games.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I think it'll go further than five as well. And we will see what we are talking about because the American League and National League championships will be in full swing by tomorrow. We'll have plenty of other stuff to talk about. We'll do it all when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, as we finish up this episode of The Early Line. Kev, I want to just go back to the NFL. Like, we're happy that there's no positive test from the Titans, right? I will say this, though. The NFL has exhausted all of their wiggle room, my friend, because there's buys now happening already, right? Like the Lions and the Packers. What happens if one of their opponents tests positive, right? What do you think ultimately is going to be the fate of this? Like, do you think we're going to be like, oh, we just dodged a bullet and now we're okay moving forward? Do you think there's going to be more of these puzzle pieces to move? Will we see a week 18? We're deep in the middle of it. We're like getting through it by the skin of our teeth, Kev. How does this play out?
So I don't know if I agree that they've exhausted all of their wiggle room, because evidently the schedule makers are in a lab. I mean, like, I'm very fortunate to know that the Jets and the Dolphins were supposed to be, like, playing bye week, playing again, because that game was not supposed to be week six. So clearly, right. And the Jets and the Dolphins have had positive tests. Like, they got messed up by the Broncos, because the Broncos were supposed to be playing the Dolphins next week, but now they're playing the Pats. So my point is, clearly, the NFL is not like, oh, this is our schedule, we can't mess up other teams. They're like, I don't care. You're all NFL teams. You're all in this together. They get messed up over here, you're in the same boat. We'll move you around. Now, obviously, the big thing is when you lose bye weeks. And it's been now reported that they are willing to, you know, kind of winning see week 18. But what's become – oh, I don't think about a winning percentage. I think they're willing to do the week 18. What's really, really interesting, though, is – at what point do they say, okay, week 18? Is it as simple as a team who has no more buys has to cancel a game? Or, and then does that mean that basically every single week they're going to go and play with Tetris with the schedule and move everything around until it works out?
And that's the thing, right? Like, okay, maybe they haven't fully exhausted their wiggle room.
They lost Thursday night football.
But they're relying on the ability to, like you say, move these puzzle pieces around. Week six, Raiders got a bye, Pats got a bye, Saints got a bye, and the Seahawks have a bye. Now those teams have lost their wiggle room as well, not only for them, but for their opponents for the rest of the season. I think you're right. The question is when and will they get ahead of it? But we got a game tonight, and hopefully still, Bills-Titans on Tuesday. We'll talk about it tomorrow. You can't see us until tomorrow, right back here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.